Will you pray with me? We say we want you to walk with us, Lord Jesus, but we are not comfortable with the path that is set before us. We would like a smooth, newly paved road with clear markings and bright, bold signs telling us what to do, warning us of what lies ahead. But the journey of discipleship is often like a rough mountain path. There are rocks, ruts, dust, dirt, holes. There may be wolves or robbers at any turn. We don't know if we dare to risk discipleship if it means struggle. But you have called us to rely on your guidance and direction. You remind us that God has never failed us yet. We have been brought to new vistas and new opportunities of service that we never would have encountered on the safe road. And this is because in all our trials, you do walk with us, Lord Jesus. In our troubles and concerns, Lord, we need your presence and comfort. We have so many fears and anxieties. Our hearts break and are burdened with the illnesses and grief of loved ones. We hear the news of disaster and catastrophe in this world and wonder how much of this we can stand. In our troubles and trials, Lord, remind us that we have your strength on which to rely. As we have faithfully brought before you the names of loved ones in need of your healing and comfort, remind us that we too are recipients of that same healing love. Strengthen us. Walk with us, Lord. Lift us high and give us confident strides as we follow your will and your path. Amen.
Hymn 642, the last two stanzas, stanzas 2 and stanza 3. Would you stand?
In my trials, Lord, walk with me. In my trials, Lord, walk with me.
Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight as we seek to hear from you and to draw near to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So right after Jesus' baptism, he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days of trial and temptation. Isn't it ironic that this time of temptation and trial happens right after his baptism? Jesus has had this mountaintop experience. He hears God speak words of affirmation and encouragement. He sees and feels the Holy Spirit descend on him. After this amazing encounter with God, he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus could have begun his ministry, started preaching and gathering disciples, but apparently he isn't quite ready yet. So he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Scripture tells us that he doesn't eat anything while he's in the wilderness. He is hungry, he is tired. At that moment of vulnerability and exhaustion, Satan comes to tempt him with food and power. It's always puzzled me that the Spirit is the one who leads Jesus into the wilderness. Instead of leading Jesus away from the temptation and the trials of the wilderness, the Spirit leads him toward it. Why would the Spirit do such a thing? Jesus is in the wilderness for 40 days. Think for a moment about how long 40 days is. 40 days without food or any of the comforts of home. Now you know the number 40 is an important number in Scripture. When you see that number 40, you can assume that something significant is going to happen. You can also assume that sometimes the author means it literally. It really is 40 days or 40 years. But it's also code for a really long time, right? 40 days is often used to indicate a period of testing or trial. It's a way to separate two distinct eras. Before the 40 days or 40 years, life was this way. After the 40 years or 40 days, life is changed. Life is different. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness also brings to mind all those stories from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. It's a way to remind us that Jesus is a continuation of the story of God and God's people in the Hebrew Bible. You remember Moses spends 40 days on the mountains with God. In 1 Kings, Elijah spends 40 days and 40 nights running toward the mountain of God. And of course, in the book of Deuteronomy, it records the story of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. God rescues them from Egyptian slavery, and they are on their way to the promised land, yes! But it takes them 40 years to get there, 40 years of wandering. During Jesus' time of temptation in the wilderness, he's apparently thinking about the Israelites too, because when Jesus is tempted by Satan, he quotes scripture from the book of Deuteronomy 3 times. Each time he answers Satan, he is quoting from Deuteronomy, scriptures that emerged during the Israelites' time in the wilderness. When the devil offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, if he will just do this simple thing and bow down to him, Jesus fends him off by quoting the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus says, it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Which means this time of testing, that Jesus goes through is also reminiscent of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness. It reminds us that being committed to God doesn't exempt us from struggle, from trials, from temptation. It didn't exempt Israel or Jesus. But in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why would the Spirit do such a thing? In his book, Falling Upward, Roman Catholic priest Richard Rohr writes about how parents do their children a huge disservice if they never allow them to fail or face any consequences from their mistakes. He writes, "You learn how to recover from falling by falling. It's precisely by falling off the bike many times that you learn what balance feels like." He goes on to say, "People who have never allowed themselves to fall are actually off balance while not realizing it." Richard Rohr writes, "We grow spiritually much more by doing it wrong than by doing it right." The spiritual maturity and depth, which will be essential for Jesus' ministry, can only come from faithfully responding to the trials, the temptation, the testing that will happen in the wilderness. God calls Jesus his beloved son, and then God allows Jesus to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus goes on a pilgrimage of sorts, a common practice for spiritual leaders of his day. It's a time to dig deep into his soul. Along the way, Jesus encounters what we all encounter: temptations to stray from the path that God intends for us. But as Tolkien famously wrote in The Lord of the Rings, not all who wander are lost. Often in the wandering, we find our true selves. Jesus needs some time to think about what it means to be Jesus. 40 days and 40 nights to think about who he wants to be, to be guided by the Spirit, to be alone with God, and then to face the darkness head on and respond faithfully. During the season of Lent, we are invited to embrace an intentional journey, a time of soul searching and reflection. For the 40 days of Lent, not counting Sundays, because you know Sundays are little Easters, right? We choose to follow the example of Jesus, who is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus spends time thinking about what it means to be Jesus, and during Lent, we spend time thinking about what it means to be us. We are called during this time to struggle with who we are, what we are becoming, and what God wants us to be. Our theme for Lent this year is called The Way. It's inspired by the passages of Scripture that talk about journey and roads and the pathways of life. And with this Lenten theme, the idea of pilgrimage certainly comes to mind. We often talk about our faith as a journey or a pilgrimage. As we talked about earlier, for over 1,200 years, pilgrims have walked the 500-mile path from France to Spain called the Camino. Pilgrims have walked this route as a form of spiritual retreat and for discernment and reflection. It takes 35 days to walk the Camino. And last year, around 192,000 people made the trek. I just want you to notice in the images the diversity of age ranges of the people who walk it. You'll see a woman in a moment pushing her baby on the Camino. Can you imagine 35 days pushing the baby on the Camino? And then you'll also see a woman who's 83 who has walked the Camino 10 times Isn't that amazing? So in 2010, filmmaker Emilio Estevez made a movie about this particular pilgrimage, the Camino, called The Way. Has anybody seen it? A few of you have it. It was a Toronto Film Festival favorite or something like that in 2010. But Martin Sheen stars in the film. He plays Tom, who is a grumpy American ophthalmologist who has to travel to France to retrieve the body of his deceased adult son, Daniel, who's played by Emilio Estevez. Before his death, Daniel and Tom are estranged. Daniel is kind of a free spirit. He travels the world, enjoys life. His hardworking, practical dad, Tom, just doesn't understand him. Daniel gets killed during a storm while walking the Camino. So Tom gets on a plane and travels to Europe to retrieve his son's body. But when he gets there, kind of has this change of heart. And in an effort to understand his son and to work out his own grief, he decides to walk the Camino. And he takes Daniel's ashes with him in this metal box that he straps to his pack. At different points along the way, Tom stops to scatter ashes. At the beginning of the movie, there is this scene that shows the start of Tom's journey. He says goodbye to the French policeman who first contacted him about his son's death and also who told him about the Camino. And then he starts to walk the Camino. Let's watch as he begins his journey.
Came to give me another pep talk, Captain?
I came to wish you buen camino, Mr. Avery. And to give you this.
Is this a good luck charm?
Something like that. You'll know what to do with it when you get there.
Get where?
Cruz de Ferro. It's on the Camino. You'll be there a month from now. You can read about it in the guide. It's a place of much significance. Mr. Avery, do you know why you're walking the way?
I suppose I'm doing it for Daniel.
You walk the way for yourself, only for yourself.
Well, then I guess I don't have a clue, Captain.
Mr. Avery, I have also lost a child. I wish you a buen camino. Enjoy your pilgrimage. Both of you. Tom, this is the way.
Pilgrimage gets off to a rather rough start. Now, you couldn't see it, but he goes the wrong way twice when he's just starting out. He's corrected first by a group of pilgrims going the right way and then by the French officer. In our lives, we often fall off the right path. Richard Rohr says we grow spiritually much more by doing it wrong than by doing it right. The wisdom of our faith says that in the wandering, we find our true selves. In Luke's gospel, Jesus begins his ministry with a purposeful wandering, a pilgrimage of sorts, spending 40 days in the wilderness. He is led there by the Spirit of God. I want to invite you to be led by the Spirit this season of Lent, to think, pray about how you might intentionally embrace this Lenten journey. We're going to give you a moment in silence and prayer to think about how you might do that, how you might embrace this season. Just to mention a few examples, you might embrace it by choosing to walk the labyrinth that we have borrowed that will be set up at different times during Lent. You might embrace it by being in worship more, or by fasting, by spending time in reflection with your own soul, or by perhaps taking on some spiritual practice for Lent. These are just suggestions, but it is your pilgrimage. So I invite you to spend a moment thinking and praying about it. And if you need the space, there's also some space there in your bulletin where you can write and answer those two questions that we're asking you to reflect on.